Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Simcast, your weekly source for occasional sim racing news, general tomfoolery, and off-topic discussions will be abound. This is episode 10 of our 2022 season. It's US week, so of course you have myself, Mr. Ben Williams, and joining me as ever, my faithful sidekick, Mr. Louis Satterley. How are you doing, Louis?
I'm doing good. I'm very antsy because either tomorrow afternoon or the following day, Saturday morning, I'm going down to Sebring for the week.
Oh, so it's going to be one of those cases of you posting pictures of race cars and that's going, ooh.
Ah, yes.
Yes. All right. I'm looking forward to that too now.
Yeah.
I will eventually get to Sebring. Eventually.
I highly recommend it to the casual race fan. While yes, Daytona is a great event, Sebring is a whole new experience of itself and must be experienced at least once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'll want to go back every year after that, or you'll never want to go again.
Yeah. Have we actually talked about on the show how we noticed that you were on the Dinner with Racers Sebring special?
I was?
I'm pretty sure you were. Like, whenever they were talking about Sebring and they were showing pictures of the crowd, I sent you like a screenshot. You said, oh yeah, that's me.
I know, it was a lot of the people that we hang out with. I know it's that. I don't remember being on that.
I
could have been. I don't know.
We'll check later. Anyway, we do have a special guest with us this evening. You heard him during the Christmas show. Welcome back to the Simcast, Mr. JD Daniel.
Hello there.
Hello. JD is going to be sitting in tonight because he's a particular view about one of the topics that I actually want to bring into tonight's discussion. Wait a minute. Hold on. Jordan?
Is this thing open?
Jordan!
Hey what's going on?
Jordan, did you finally cross the Atlantic?
Has anyone got a towel?
Oh, gosh.
It turns out I cannot walk on water. It's just a long swim.
I'm not sure how to respond to that.
I'm impressed by your jumping skills, because clearly you had to jump off the bottom in order to get a breath of fresh air there. Numerous times.
Oh, more impressed than the swim. Yeah, hi guys, how's it going?
Yes, it's going good.
There's that 1% swim across the English Channel to France. Obviously, they're not doing a very good job. And listen to Jordan, he doesn't even sound winded.
No, You may not like it, but this is what peak performance looks like, let's be honest.
No. In all seriousness, Jordan's going to be sitting in tonight's episode because, you know, he has his new place and he can stay up late as long as he wants and record with us.
Mom, I can do whatever I want.
You're going to have to put up with me so much more.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is going to be entertaining.
I'm immediately regretting this decision.
Hang on. The British are coming! The British are coming!
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
No one expects the British invasion.
No.
Except everybody does. Anyway, of course, you can follow us on Twitter at Simcast Radio. Tell us what you're thinking about some of the topics on tonight's show using the hashtag SimcastRSL. Of course, myself, Jordan, and Lewis, and of course, Matt, are all members of the collective.
By the way, it's going to be a huge congratulations on the new place, by the way, Jordan.
Yes, we haven't said that yet.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's great. Yeah.
How great is it?
Well, poor
Ben wanted to ask that, I could tell.
The food's pretty bad, but everything else is good. Good lord.
I was going to make another joke, but I don't think I should make that joke on air, so I'll save it for later.
Yeah, that usually stops us.
Yeah.
By the way, based on my dinner tonight, hashtag eat more tacos.
Oh.
And
good night, everybody.
Now we know how to get rid of him.
Anyway, so last week, this little game called Gran Turismo 7 came out.
Yeah, that little game.
That little game, to much rejoicing of pretty much everyone in the sim racing community that I've been able to tell.
Yeah, it's been a joy. I mean, I haven't really had a chance to sit down and play it for a whole day yet. I've gotten quite a bit of progress through it. But I love it because it's got a lot of the aspects of Gran Turismo, well, basically right from the inception all the way up until 5, with basically the whole town layout and all the different areas that you can go visit. And I've also put a modern twist onto it, too, which is very, very enjoyable.
Yeah,
I will say. And they've made things for it. It keeps you engaged and keep racing throughout the whole game, as opposed to before. It was very much so, go get your license and then just move up from that and collect the cars that you want. And at least now this time, if you want to be a car collector like I like to be, to where you want to at least look at every single car that's in the game, they've made it with this feature called Menu Book inside of the cafe location, to where basically they tell you a bunch of races to go win these cars. And the best part about it is that you don't have to go hunt for them. They immediately tell you which race to go to, and this is your prize. Which I like quite a lot, because now you don't have to effectively waste a lot of time just searching throughout the whole game trying to find that one particular race to see where that car is.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have a little bit different perspective on that, just because I don't like it whenever the game says, in order to unlock this certain thing that you want to do, you have to do this mode. I'm not a fan of that, personally.
Yeah, that is a little frustrating. I could say that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done the menu system just as well as, like, everything's open to you, but if you want a tailored experience, you can go through this menu option. Not, right. If you want to be able to drive on this track, you have to do this.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
Which, speaking of, I just got done doing a race, I think it was to get the Ford cars. And I spent a 5-minute lap at max throttle, going 190 miles an hour, and couldn't catch the car in front of me because I just didn't have enough in-game credits to buy that much horsepower. For 5 minutes, full throttle on this long oval, which was calculated out to be 19.4 miles.
Yeah, it's like
special. That's a little ridiculous. Yeah, special stage X. That's a little bit ridiculous, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I like their upgrade system. I don't really have that many complaints, but I think it's a good system. It's very well laid out. It's very clear what kind of upgrade you're buying. There's a couple things that I feel Forza does just a little bit better, and that's mainly involving increasing the tire width on the car, which I haven't found an option to do that yet. I don't know if that's something that I need to unlock, because I'm only like 30, well, maybe not even that many, like 30-ish hours into the game. I just like last night got to collector level 10.
I believe on some of the cars you can actually increase the track width instead of the tire width, so you can get.
It's not really the same though.
No, it's not. But still,
I was gonna say there is a tire width option inside that, but you can't choose the size of the tire width you want. No.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, because I just think it looked weird that for the 69 Camaro gives me the option of putting a wide body, but it's still the 69 era tires that are maybe like 7 inches wide.
Yeah, that's where you got to go in and get yourself the wider tire. But sad part is you can't make it a factory tire.
Yeah.
Or wheel, sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're playing this on the PS4, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm also playing this on the PS4. I know
it's because I cannot get a PS5 to save my life.
None of us can.
Except for Matt.
Except for you guys across the pond over there in the UK, you can also get a certain steering wheel that is probably not going to show any signs of life over here. And by the time it shows up over here, there's going to be some new latest and greatest thing that we don't even want that one anymore.
Yeah. We'll probably get the direct drive wheel here before we get the...
Yeah.
Freaking...
But looking at you, Jordan, with so much with so much jealousy.
I'll have you know, I can't get a PS5 either. Like, it's very much like
we're talking about the steering wheel you got.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
Ben, we need to ban him from the show just for that.
Yeah, you'll have to wait until next week to hear Matt's perspective for the PS5, but I like the PS4 version just fine. The physics feel great. It doesn't look bad, in my opinion. I mean, the load times are a thing, but, you know...
I was going to say, according to the developer, they said there should literally be no difference between visuals and performance of the game itself. The only difference is those who have a PS4 will have to wait on load screens.
Yeah.
Which, if that's the case, that looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed a definite improvement in the lighting, the textures of everything. I don't care about the load times too much because they're comparable to other games, mm-hmm. but just the lighting, everything's massive improvement over Gran Turismo Sport even. I've been playing both games. I played GT Sport in preparation for GT7 just to compare and contrast, and then like the difference in even just the driving feel is very apparent, and it's a lot mm-hmm. more refined, and it feels great. It's just under like the Sims that we all like to drive, like an ACC. I call it like ACC Lite. That's how good it mm-hmm. feels.
Yeah, you've been driving.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, you've been driving Gran Turismo 7 with your wheel a lot too.
Yes. Yes. It feels very good. I recently got a Fanatec CSL Elite, so I can actually play on my PlayStation now. And like you can feel when the car is waiting up with downforce. You can feel when you have understeer, it will give you some wheel chatter. The car does feel a whole lot more slippery than in GT Sport, but GT Sport had like infinite grip, where if you just went too deep into the corner, you would just straight understeer. And GT7, you can go in deep into the corner, you still understeer a lot more, but then you also have a little bit more slip angle to play with. And like compared to other sims, mostly ACC, which is my main sim at the current moment, you get a lot more slip angle and you get a lot more detail in the wheel. Like you can feel the car sliding around a little bit more. You can feel the front tire slide as you understeer, mm-hmm. but just having it be a little bit more muted in GT7, it's a great feeling game. I'd never thought I'd feel like that kind of confidence on a wheel on a console game.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'll say this game has actually made me fall back in love with console racing again. Cause right. Anybody who knows me, especially you guys, mm-hmm. know that I've just been hard pressed inside of my PC playing R Factor the whole time. And actually now I find myself torn to go play R Factor or turn off the PC and go fire up the console and play Gran Turismo at the moment.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I am not fortunate enough to have a wheel that works on PlayStation. So I've just been using the controller, and gotta be honest, it feels good, but I miss my vibrating triggers from Forza.
Yeah, I've heard people who have played it on PS5 who have the new DualSense controller,
trigger, something like that.
That those haptic triggers, like they're Xbox level or better in terms of their vibration feedback. So it's fully implemented in the game. Just that on DualShock 4s that we have, we don't get that.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Jordan, what about your thoughts?
I'm extremely jealous of all of you. it's basically my main thought. No, I've been watching a lot of other people playing and streaming the game, and it genuinely looks like this is the best console racing game that has launched in a long, long time. It's the new benchmark, in fact. Like some of the things they've been able to accomplish, you wouldn't, like previously, you might not have thought possible on consoles. Like the rain is the main thing that I've seen that stood out. The rain is absolutely astonishing, and it looks to be one of the first games that has accurately replicated what it's like to have a wet line and a drying and a discernible reason not to go off of the line that you want to be on. It's really impressive, and for a console game to not to belittle console games at all, like there are some absolutely incredible ones, but for a console game to have broken that duct where many other sim racing titles on PC have failed, that's extraordinarily impressive. And that's just one aspect of this game that's incredibly impressive. You can just see from the ultimate finished product that we've got how well of a good job over the whole that the developers managed to do with this. Like it's so well polished. Are there many problems with this game? I haven't seen any.
I haven't noticed that many, honestly.
The biggest problems people have are with the tuning on multiplayer. People like finding quote-unquote exploits that. I've had a couple of problems with a little bit of net code and lag online, but that's just from hosted servers, not the actual sport lobbies. But and also the rally cars, or any time your car gets any type of airtime, the physics start to act a little wonky. But other than those things, which are pretty minor in the game, it is a phenomenal product. Like, this is what you can expect from these next-gen racing games. I'm extremely excited for the future.
Well, going off of what people are starting to experience and everything, one feature that I've absolutely loved about this, and I haven't really paid too much detail on it, but on one of the menus, before you even go into any race or the cafe or any dealership, down on the bottom left corner, it'll give you a little notification that says known issues.
They're on
which
top
I love, which granted, I haven't sat there and looked at any of them long enough, mostly because I'm not experiencing any of them. I haven't seen any pop up, but shortly after that, it'll say in next update what we will be working on. And it's kind of like a little news feed across the bottom.
Yeah,
I think is a wonderful feature to have.
They've been really good with communication on what they're working on. Like, okay, we know these things are happening. You know, I understand it's also the first week of the game. Of course, they're going to be more on top of things, but just
if it's minor things like that, that shows you, like Jordan said, how polished the game really is. And you don't come across that across anything anymore these days.
Yeah, I mean, the general consensus is that day one patches are a thing that happens now.
It's just a known and expected thing. Like, it's not even as we kind of alluded to, it's not even just sim racing, it's gaming as a whole. It's a major problem. Like, since the majority of consumers got access to consistent internet speeds, it's just the known thing to have patches now. Like, release a broken game, fix it later. But Gran Turismo is one of the first games for a long, long time. Maybe only Circuit Superstars was the only other game that I can think of that had like virtually zero issues at launch. But like, you look at
Forza Horizon. Have a launch patch. It did have a launch patch.
Yeah, but I mean,
it was very small.
The issues weren't too bad. And like, when you consider like Forza Horizon, that was plagued with issues when that launched. I needn't talk about Project Cars in the past, you know. Like,
yeah, let's not reopen that wound.
it's just an expected thing now that you're going to have a hefty day one patch that's going to fix a lot of issues, and that a lot of issues are going to remain. And yet Gran Turismo has basically no major issues and only tiny little ones. It's massively impressive.
It is.
The biggest regret I have is that I don't have a PS5, so I can actually record my gameplay and the quality is higher than 720p. Because this game is devastatingly gorgeous, and I want to share it, but I can't.
So my next question actually is, uploading a logo, has that become easier? Because I remember last time it was a bit of a pain.
It's the same.
It is the same, okay.
It is the same.
I'll say that's one drawback then.
Yeah, it is the same exact system. I mean, once you figure out how to do it, which is what I spent more time than I care to mention on doing that this week, learning how that works. Once you know how to make that work, it's pretty easy.
Much like anything else.
Yeah. The limit on the size of the file does prevent, it does have some.
Right.
It makes it a little bit more difficult. Like, for instance, our logo. Our logo is too big. Our Simcast logo is too detailed to just be able to automatically be imported in. I had to change it a little bit. I already hear
Jordan's pencil scribbling in, make smaller logo.
All to assume that I have the technical prowess to do that, but go on.
Yeah,
I mean, for me personally, I feel just this bar has been raised so high. I hope Turn 10 is up to the task for their next motorsport game.
Turn 10, they better be paying attention. They need to be paying attention, because if they respond to GT7 with something that's like Forza Motorsport 7 and how broken that was when it came out, they're in trouble.
I mean, or anything like Forza 5 or newer.
if they respond to only get to like a GT Sport level, they're in trouble as well. Like they need to go above and beyond, not only just to catch up to what GT Sport was, but now this new bar is so high.
Yeah.
It's getting so many rave reviews, not just from casual racers, but even hardcore sim racers like Dan Zizushi and Dave Cam. Like they're all praising GT7 as well.
Yeah. I mean, I do know there's a couple of people that said, oh, the hype is just nostalgia. This is more than nostalgia. This is a quality product that Polyphony obviously put a lot of time and a lot of thought into creating, and it should be recognized as such.
I mean, yeah. we're all sim racers, and like we all know how difficult it is to jump from game to game because the physics and everything is all implemented differently. I've played GT7 for 20 hours since launch. I jumped right back into iRacing, and I had no bad habits picked up from GT7. I was already like right back on the pace. Me and Jordan were practicing for Sebring, and it was just immediate. I was right back where I was.
I can say the same thing going right back into R Factor. I didn't have any issues with any of the things I was doing.
You know, and I can't say the same for Forza. Forza, like I need to like be on that for a week, and then I need to detox from Forza for another week if I were to switch back.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks you can never get back.
Nope. All right. So now that we've spent like 20 minutes talking about GT7, does anyone have any final thoughts? Besides, if you have access to a PlayStation, get this.
My final thoughts really are, if you look at the, this is just me being a little nitpicky, if you look at the content of the game, it's very much so the Gran Turismo Sport car list ported over, so there's not really a whole lot in content of the latest and greatest cars that are out there, but at the same time, with how long they've supported Gran Turismo Sport and how much DLC came out over the course of that entire game's life, I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of the new cars coming in via DLC, which is actually the way it should be, really.
Yeah.
Instead of us having to be like turn 10 to where we pay for a car that we've had numerous times before.
My final thoughts are that the game is, first of all, fantastic. Second of all, it is a classic GT game, so it is a grind. Mm-hmm. You have to grind the single player. But that being said, it is a very enjoyable grind. Like, I'm not a single player sim racer. I enjoy multiplayer and league racing, but I still get a whole bunch of enjoyment from playing GT7 and finishing the campaign just because the core game experience is that good. So I'm excited, you know, for the future, and I'd say it's my game of the year. So
yeah, and dare I say, actually, Gran Turismo, I think, and Polyphony have probably been the only developers to ever actually try to cater to both types of gamers themselves, both the ones that want to do single player and the ones that want to do multiplayer. Any other game has always been one or the other. For instance, R Factor, has a multiplayer, but it's more geared towards the guys who want to play offline. iRacing, same thing. They're 100% multiplayer, and they're starting to do a little bit of things with the guys who want to race offline. Mm-hmm. So I think Polyphony and Gran Turismo are probably the only ones that can actually do both successfully.
Yeah.
All in a console game package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all in a console. If this game ever comes to PC, I don't know if I'll play anything else for a while.
Well, on that note, so Gran Turismo 7, definitely Simcast approved. And as my final thought is, if I was an executive at EA, by the way, in case you forgot, Grid Legends came out last week, and now everyone's focused on GT7. I'd be kind of mad. Anyway, moving on, switching gears a little bit. We talked about some wheel support for Gran Turismo 7, but we haven't really talked that much tonight about the Fanatec Gran Turismo DD wheel that came out a couple months ago, was it not?
Yes.
Yeah, November 2021. That's what it was. However, you could only buy that wheel as part of a bundle deal, excuse me, that included a GT-themed wheel and a set of CSL pedals. Well, now you can actually just buy the wheelbase itself. And if I remember correctly, yes, it will cost 600 euros or $600. And it actually does include the boost kit that bumps up the power rating of the direct drive wheel just a little bit. Five to eight newtons, that's what it is.
Very nice. Santa.
Yes. Now, here's something
that... I have been a very good JD.
Now, here is something that I find interesting that I think I knew this at one point about Fanatec products that I forgot, is that because we have a direct drive wheel that is accessible with PlayStation, mm-hmm. if you buy a rim from Fanatec that is Xbox compatible, you have a package that can play both consoles.
Yes, that's correct. I've seen multiple people doing that, and it looks great.
Yeah. That's...
That's huge.
That's huge.
Yeah. Like, there's no other wheel that can do that.
Right there
is. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. That's huge. And the what's the other... The other D direct drive wheel for Fanatec is what? Four
CSLDD.
Yeah, that's what, 479, something like that.
Yeah,
480, so. Something. Yeah. So, for just like $120-ish more, you get access to PC, Xbox, and PlayStation, depending on worth what it. Rim you buy. Yeah,
worth it.
I think that's worth it.
100%. Yeah, that is a great package there.
I'll say this: I think Fanatec are actually starting to listen to. I want to say us, but I'm sure we're not the only ones that are shouting about this, because, I mean, they have a great product, but they are definitely on the higher end of the pay spectrum, and they've been coming down a lot lately with a lot of their stuff.
But it's Fanatec, so it's the cost is what you get.
Oh, like, yeah.
You're getting what you pay for. Yeah.
I don't want to say that it's a gripe and it's a terrible thing that they're doing, because absolutely they're hitting a market. Otherwise, they wouldn't be charging that much and they wouldn't be getting customers still.
Mm-hmm.
So, well worth it, I think. But I love that they're coming down a little bit on their prices to where people who would love to get their thing but can't quite get it because it's out of the cost range are now able to start being able to get some of the higher end stuff at a much more affordable price.
Yeah.
That to me is a great thing.
And it's getting to a point where, as we're seeing with this, that when you buy the higher end stuff, having the capability to do everything you might possibly want to do with it was even that's even an extra bonus.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Meanwhile, on the other kind of the other end-ish end of the spectrum, we have Thrustmaster direct drive wheel, which we've been talking about it since
19, really, haven't it?
Since sometime like mid 2021. It's, I think, when they first like teased.
But it was confirmed to be in existence. Yeah, it was confirmed to be actually happening like mid 2021. But there'd been rumors about it for years and years, and now it feels like it's been years and years until we're going to get it.
This is the Dacia Sandero of direct drive wheels.
It really is.
That is such a good description. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So basically, the latest chapter to this is. So Thrustmaster have been slowly drip feeding us information about this new DD wheel. It started with them basically only revealing that it would be compatible with all of their other add-ons. Cool information. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Then it was about a month later, they released more information saying that it had a new next-gen quick release with a lock, which again, really cool information. But they were starting to aggravate people with how little information was coming out at such wide intervals.
Yeah.
And according to Thrustmaster, they heard us loud and clear, so they drip fed us some more information saying that the next update will reveal everything. But they haven't told us when that update's gonna be.
At least they confirmed it's this year.
It was so close.
I've got a new picture.
Wow.
I can't look at it.
We know
they released
guys
a new photo. Wow.
We know you guys are really fed up with all of this slow drip feed of news. So here's no more news, but an equally long wait. It's
at
not
least
the
we
best.
At least we know what the little hexagons are now.
Do we, what are they? Is it just the light on the?
No, they're like the starting lights at the beginning of a race.
Oh right, no, yes, but these.
Yes.
No, but they're also saying, there also seems to be this thing that the hexagon is going to be the light that's on the actual wheelbase itself as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be some kind of...
It's going to be that shape or something like that. Yeah.
Which I guess is fine.
And I'm guessing the lights on it are also going to be rev counter, like rev lights?
I hope so.
Maybe. We still haven't seen the damn thing, so who knows?
I mean, in the video...
Talking about, you have seen it. You've seen that there is a new quick release with the lock. That is part of the wheel. You have seen the wheel.
You're still giving Thrustmaster too much credit.
I'm just doing this to harp on Jordan's nerves.
It's just frustrating, you know. They're like, oh, we hear you loud and clear, but we're going to keep doing the thing we're going to do. So basically all we've done now is we've stopped the casual drip feed of like one feature revealed at a time, and we're now just going to wait 6 months until it actually gets announced or something like that.
Yeah,
I was going to say, now we've got to wait like three times as long.
At least we know now that we'll have information sometime in the next next 6 months.
But as we were just saying, with how Fanatec are bringing down their cost of their stuff, and like you look at how competitive the cost of the CSLDD is, if Thrustmaster make us wait this long with this agonizing drip feed of information, and then they reveal it and it costs way more than the CSLDD, it's dead on arrival.
Yeah.
So, I hope it's not. Obviously, yeah. It would be great if Thrustmaster reveal a DD that's a comparable price to the CSL DD. But who knows?
Yeah.
At least we know it's this year.
Yeah. Well, we said that about their first announcement of when they were going to reveal some information, and then they did it on like the 28th of December. So I'm expecting an announcement.
The 30th of December?
I think you're right, actually. Yeah. So yeah, I'm expecting the DD to be announced officially with all of the information on New Year's Eve? New Year's Eve.
It'll just be the announcement that they're going to announce it the next year.
Yeah. I make you guys a deal. If we get to our Christmas show and we still don't have information about it, I will shave my beard off.
Oh my.
Or you could just do that for me anyway, because I've been a good boy this year.
Oh, that just became weird.
Let's move on. Yes,
let's move on.
I want to drown out all of my thoughts for that.
I'm now for something completely different.
Yes.
So, as I believe I said during the last show that it's either going to be the week before our show or the week of our show. The iRacing season 2022 season update 2 has dropped this week, and oh boy, we have a lot of, just a little bit of content. So. As per
this goes right up there with one of the ones that they've had that has the most content released on a single update.
Yeah. As per usual, you can go read the patch notes for yourself. We're just going to be highlighting certain things that we want to.
Otherwise, it takes us to the end of the show.
Yeah, literally. These are just the season highlights that iRacing themselves have listed. First of all, new car, Aston Martin Vantage GT4.
Yum.
Somewhere in the distance, Matt Hunter has had a coronary.
I can hear him confirmed. Right now. I can hear him screaming. Like,
yeah. Say, I can hear his squeeze all the way over here.
Yeah.
Probably through Jordan's microphone, but I'm hearing
him. Could be. Yeah.
New car, Hyundai Veloster NTC.
This was TCR, somewhat surprising. Yeah. Like, I didn't expect them to release two, but as some, I think it was both Lewis and JD pointed out to me that the Veloster and the Elantra did actually race together in MPC, so it kind of makes sense.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Plus, another TC. More
they
variety.
They still are racing against each other, actually, in a Michelin Pilot Challenge.
Oh, is it still this year as well?
Yeah. Customer team, yeah.
Ah. Well, that's cool. Yeah, more variety.
I was going to say, some of the customer teams are still running the old Veloster, and Herta still has all the factory ones.
It looks all eight of them, in my opinion, as well. I actually prefer the Veloster to the Elantra, looks-wise.
Yeah. Anyway, it's two new cars. New car, yes. iRacing Formula 4 IR-04, which is, it's the M4, but they gave it a non-specific name so that they could avoid copyright issues. Essentially. Three new cars. Four new cars. NASCAR Buick LeSabre, the 1987. Again, I kind of call it this one. Very cool that we have three 87 NASCARs now. New car, the stock car Pro Series Toyota Corolla and the Chevy Cruze.
So that's six new cars.
That's six new cars.
These are excellent, by the way.
They're so much fun. I mean, the brakes could be better, but there's
it adds
so much
to the charm.
It adds to the charm and the violence.
As I said to you guys yesterday, like my benchmark for iRacing enjoyment is the IndyCar, as you might expect. That is the car that I love the most.
Yeah,
I've only driven one race in the Brazilian stock car, and it's right up there. It's the most fun I've had on the sim. It's so good. I wholeheartedly recommend it to anyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect. The sitting position's a little weird. That took some getting used to.
Yeah, you can adjust that.
Yeah, then the brakes aren't great, but other than that, I don't care. It's too much fun. Soundtrack's great.
It's so. Oh yeah, the noise. Yeah. Yes.
V8s go.
V8s go. Brr. And you know me, I love V8s. We also have two new tracks. We have the Federated Auto Parts Raceway at I-55. Lewis is obviously very excited about that one.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah. And we have the Winton Motor Raceway from Australia.
Nice.
Which I have not driven because, much like I know you said this in our chat, Jordan, much like your opinion, they're probably only to be used in the V8 supercar seasons, and because I'm not actively doing that right now, I don't feel a need to spend $15.
Yeah, exactly. It's being used a lot, as per usual, when a new track comes out. It's being used a lot in various different seasons.
Yeah,
this upcoming few months, but after that, it tends to trail off a little bit. So, and as much as the onboard looks fun, it just, I don't know, the track looks a little slow for a V8 supercar track.
Yeah, and I did purchase the I-55 Speedway just because I wanted to take the big block modified around it. I still have to learn the track a little bit, and I kind of broke the car while I was doing it, but so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't see this ago. I ripped the rear axle out of it by accident.
Got a little close to the wall, didn't you?
He had one wheel under the car and one wheel coming out of one of the windows. Like,
he did that in Talented.
He turned it into a PLP big block.
I want that racing series. Please bring us PLP big block.
The only series where the engine's bigger than the rest of the car. anyway, a couple other things that they added in this last update. There's netcode improvements, new and updated multiple tire compound rules, new and updated spotter calls for fuel usage, tire compound rules, and pit box calls. The GT3 class has been pretty much completely reworked. And because I know Jordan and JD have driven them, so what exactly did they change with the GT3 cars?
They changed the aero platform for a lot of the GT3 cars. They also updated the tire model. So now, and they also changed like how the heat reacts in the tire over a run. So before, when we did our 24 hours of Daytona, we could double stint our tires, and the performance drop off from the second stint was almost negligible.
It kind of improved.
yeah, the car actually improved over the second stint on the tires, but now they said that won't be the case necessarily. The tire wear will still be acceptable, but the actual tire performance will be less.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the Ferrari that we're driving, we noticed pre-patch that we had a lot of understeer in slow speed corners at Sebring, and me and Jordan practiced yesterday, and all the problems that we had with understeer in low and medium speed corners, especially into the first hairpin, all of that just vanished with this new physics update. The car feels incredible, and we were turning lap times at least a second faster in much hotter conditions than we initially were practicing the week before.
Nice.
So it feels great. I love it.
It's amazing. Like you guys know, I have a bit of an on and off history with GT3 cars. I adore the Ferrari now.
Yeah.
It's great. Cool.
Yeah.
Feels really
awesome.
Good.
there's still 5 bullets of someone raid.
Oh god. iRacing.
Yeah. The NASCAR Camping World Truck Series trucks have all been updated for the 2022 season. That means there's basically the Toyota has been redone. And the Ford and the Chevy both now have new front bumpers. That's pretty that's a pretty apt description, I think.
Yep, that's pretty.
It's pretty much a new Toyota, just completely new.
Yep, yep. Entire top to bottom change for the Toyota, just fronts for the other two, and they look great. They all do. Look really good.
All right. The last couple here, the new damage model has been enabled for the Vantage GT4, the Veloster TCR, the M4, and the Sabre. Or, I'm sorry, not the M4, the F4. I've been when you put those like two cars from the NPC series, I'm just naturally going to think about the M4.
Yeah.
And lastly, AI stuff. So AI Racing has three new cars, the Vantage GT4, the Veloster, excuse me. I am not pronouncing things correctly this evening. I do apologize. The Veloster TCR and now the Mercedes F1 car, which I'm sure hilarity will ensue. And AI Racing has been extended to 7 new track configurations, including Monza, Circuit of the Americas, Circuit. Oh,
Villeneuve.
Yeah, that's it. Silverstone, Suzuka, and both configurations of the new track, the Winton Motor Raceway. Also, buried deep in the patch notes is everyone's favorite AI training courses.
Yay! These are legit my favorite thing about patch notes.
Whenever there's a season update, I always look to see what interesting thing has been added. So, are we ready?
Yep.
All right. First of all, out of the pit box problem solving. Okay. Next one. Tire compound selection program V2.1. The biannual psychological counseling seminar for dealing with tow request denials.
Excellent.
Hybrid systems, understanding and improving your efficiency by AI_ZX2319.
Oh, that's such a meme.
That's 2319.
Oh, it is 2319. Oh my gosh. How did I not catch that? the next one's my personal favorite. How to succeed in qualifying without really trying.
Let's say.
Staggered starting grid comprehension for synthetic minds. RAC 303 side-by-side racecraft. Finding joy in the parade lap.
That's my favorite.
Arc and break intensifies.
And we train some real people for that.
Finding joy in the formation lap. Oh my god.
A treatise on the 2021 landmark case, quartering speed versus driving lines. And the last one's kind of a visual gag, but it's DRS with Dr. S, except it's abbreviation for doctor, so it's DRS with DRS. Yeah, the last one's a bit of a but so finding joy in the parade lap and how to succeed in qualifying without even trying.
Mm. Without even really if it's trying. Just us that gets a kick out of these, I'm glad they did it.
Oh yeah. Again,
iRacing.
Yeah, again, iRacing. The person who writes these needs a raise.
Yes, 100%. This is the opposite, or this is what Thrustmaster should be doing. Like, we got very little stuff about this update, then all of a sudden it's just like everything that we weren't expecting. It's like, wow, this is huge. Love it. Yep.
Yeah. Every time there was another piece of news came out, my reaction was, oh, we're getting that too?
Yeah. So in total, that was what, 2 tracks and 6 cars?
six tracks, cars and three trucks, technically.
Well, three trucks, okay.
One and a half each.
Yeah. So, as we only have 15 minutes left into that
show, oh my goodness.
We're going to speed through the next couple of updates. First of all, we talked a lot about this during the last US show, but we do know that we have a release date for the next car DLC for ACC. That's coming out on March 23rd, and that's what? The Audi GT3 Evo, the Ferrari, the updated Ferrari Challenge, the BMW M2 cup car thing, and the Lamborghini ST Evo.
Yeah, it's an evolution of the ST that we already have in ACC. I am very excited for this, but I think I can speak for a lot of other ACC players that we kind of wish we were getting the track pack first instead of the cars. Like, don't get me wrong, we're excited about the new cars, but we're really excited about the track.
Like, I think what this actually is because they just, what was it, within the last day or two, they released the entry list for the Endurance Cup and the Sprint Cups. Mm-hmm. So I think this actually could be this year's cars that they're releasing, and it's not necessarily the content that we're looking for.
Mm.
Granted, we're going to get the new cars, but I don't think it's going to be like the North American series that we've been wanting for, or the Asian series that we've been waiting for.
Yeah, no, it'll just be like the base cars, and then like I guess later on they'll like add the liveries for the actual series.
Oh yeah, but I'm sure it will be
like the GT4 cars that they've added to ACC. Like I know the pack was like over a year ago, but they are still like cream of the crop. Like they are the best GT4s in sim racing I've driven. I've driven the Maz on AC, I've driven them on iRacing. ACC still blows them out of the water in terms of how good these models are.
Oh yeah, very understeery, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Moving on swiftly, AMS2 has had another update, and it also includes the new kart cars.
Yeah, so this is yet another stage of the Racing USA Part 2 DLC. So if you have that, this will be yours.
Yeah.
We've already had the 1998 and the 2001 kart cars.
These are the 95 cars.
We now have the 95, yeah. Okay. So I believe there's five different models, including the Lola and the Lola T95 and the Reynard 95i. And they've also padded it out with a couple of kind of fictional S cars that just have slight body differences, just to pad out the grid more, which I've got no problem with. It's cool.
Oh, yeah, no problem with that.
And you'll be shocked to hear, given the praise I had for the previous two kart DLCs for this game, this one's bloody amazing. I think this one, personally, I think the 95s are my favorite so far. They're a little less planted than the other two. Obviously, being older, they're a little bit more stabby, killy. But you have to drive them with a little bit more finesse, and if you do, it really rewards you. And AMS have once again knocked it out of the park. I love them.
I fully expect Louis now wanting to get AMS 2 just because there's so much kart content.
And we're going to be getting more. Like we've already got in terms of tracks, we've already got Road America, we've got Watkins Glen, we've got Cleveland. We know we're getting more US tracks in Racing USA Part 3 later this year. And we also know we're getting modern IndyCar. Well, we're fairly sure on that, but we know we're getting oval racing as well, like proper oval racing.
Yeah, I was going to say...
With purpose-made AI for oval racing, which is a big deal for some games, because they just lump the circuit AI on there and they do terribly.
Yeah, The Forza AI on ovals is particularly hilarious.
Exactly, yeah. And even like this game's proper predecessor, Project Cars games, whenever they did ovals, they were terrible as well. So the fact that Razer, are working on AI that work on ovals and understand ovals, that's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. I can't wait.
I was going to say, when the ovals come out, it's probably when I pull the trigger on this, because with all these era of cars, the one race that stands out in my mind at the time, and unfortunately the race no longer exists, it's not so much the Indy 500, that's always been its thing, but actually the Michigan 500.
Yes, yeah.
It's the one race that stands out in my mind for this particular era of open wheel cars in North America.
I would be shocked if AMS don't add Michigan because of that very fact, because that was the Indy 500 of these cars.
Well, it's not so much that, actually. Michigan, still to this day, I think holds the all-time speed record, average speed record, for fastest 500-mile race in the world.
I believe you are correct, yeah.
Yeah, it was, I believe, the 97 kart race. And that, what an incredible race that was, too. I think there was like five or six drivers that were capable of winning that race by the end of it. I know Andretti, Vasser, Brack, just to name three of them off the top of my head, and I'm pretty sure Fernandez was in that at 1.2, but still, just an absolutely blistering race.
Yeah. We'll take your word for it, because at the time, I would have been six, and Jordan would have been one.
Oh, I'm sure Jordan knows which race I'm talking about. You just have to Google it, and it's out there.
I've seen it. Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah. So AMS2 continues to improve. And I always say this every time we talk about AMS2, but I really should play that game more.
You really should. I only really drive kart at the moment, and it's basically my kart simulator.
Yeah.
Not karting, that's R Factor 2. But AMS2 is great.
Like the entire Racing USA DLC, there hasn't been any losers in it that I can think of.
No. Because it's the stuff that you've been wanting, but you don't realize that you've been wanting it, really.
Yeah.
And the fact that the AMS always kill it with the historical stuff as well, like the fact that we got Cleveland is amazing. That's such a good track, and they do such a good job with bringing us historical versions of other tracks. So if we're getting like more American tracks, like we already have Road America, as I said, if we start getting historical versions as well, contemporaries for this era of kart, oh boy!
I was going to say, can you imagine that period? Long Beach, and that period, Surfers Paradise.
Exactly. Exactly. And I believe Vancouver. Somewhere I heard Surfers might be happening if it isn't already. I can't actually remember, but...
I was going to say, and Vancouver. Vancouver was always a good street circuit, too.
All right. Going to move us on swiftly from there, just because there's two more things I want to talk about before...
That was a good pun, by the way, Ben, whether you intended to or not.
It was completely incidental, honestly.
Yeah, because Swift was a kart manufacturer at the time, too.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, they're in the game. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Moving on swiftly, because there's two things I still want to talk about before we get to the esports roundup of the week, brought to you by The Gaming Athlete. First of all, these are relatively quick, but the one we're going to gush about for a couple seconds. It was announced that the newest version of the F1 Manager game, F1 Manager 2022, will be released later in the summer. Honestly, I don't know much about this particular brand of motorsport management games. It's because it's officially branded by F1, you know it's going to have special features about the drivers, not Mazepin, but Magnussen instead. Ha ha ha. Sorry, I had to comment on that yet.
Womp, womp.
And nothing of value was lost. So if you are a fan of motorsport management, be on the lookout for that. Last week, so there's a website that offers some really cool gaming bundles for those who want to get into gaming but don't want to necessarily pay the price, where they offer you a bundle of games after you make a certain dollar donation to a cause of their choice. They're known as Humble. They have recently come out with the Ultimate Racing Sim Bundle, which will be supporting the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, or JDRF, and with all the money also going towards that charity and the Direct Relief emergency charity as well. For a $13 donation, you get some really cool things.
You mean a lot.
Yeah. So you get 10 sim related things with your $13 donation. First of all, ACC. Cool. Second, it's Soto Corsa Ultimate Edition. Automobilista. Automobilista 2. Derf 21. or Drift 21, sorry, not Dirt 21, Drift 21. A 3-month subscription to iRacing, provided that you haven't had previous iRacing subscriptions before. NASCAR Heat 5 Ultimate Edition. What's that doing in here? I'm kidding.
Well, it's still better than Heat than Ignition. It's still the best NASCAR game.
Yeah. R Factor 2 is also in this bundle. And you also get 20% coupons off coupons on either the Thrustmaster T248P or the Thrustmaster T150.
For $13. That's a hell of a bundle. That is a hell of a bundle.
If you're interested in sim racing, like maybe you listen to our show, but you haven't really gotten into sim racing or you haven't known where to start, well, this is a good place to start.
Yeah, or like if you're a console gamer and you're just jumping onto PC, this is the perfect starting block for you. Like, or the titles on here, like any one of them would be a perfect starting block. Assetto Corsa Ultimate Edition, that's got everything you would want, and then it opens up modding for you.
Oh, yeah.
AMS2, it's got all the historical stuff we just said. iRacing, need we say no more? I mean, a 3-month subscription for $13 is ridiculous. R-Factor 2, also outstanding. It's excellent. This is such a good bundle.
I was going to say, for somebody who's starting out, this is literally for $13, you can find the game that suits you.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, for instance, I'm an R Factor 2 guy. You guys are mostly iRacing. Jordan, in a sense, has specific ones for whatever type of car that he wants to run. This is, for $13, I mean, you can't beat this because you can literally find exactly what you want to look for.
And it goes
what
to
game you can go to. And it does and it goes go to charity.
Yeah.
So this is perfect. It has all the top racing games that are out there at the moment with Automobilista, ACC, R Factor, and iRacing. I mean, you can't beat it.
Yeah, it's like a $380, like all told, you get $380 worth of content for $13.
Yeah, it's just great.
Yeah, so if you are interested in checking out any of those titles that you might not have played before, or just getting into sim racing in general, that is a good place to start right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's not a good place. That's the perfect place. That is the place to start.
Yeah. So with literally less than 30 seconds left in tonight's show, it's time for tonight's Esports Roundup of the Week, brought to you by The Gaming Athlete.
Brought to you by The Gaming Athlete.
Yeah. Head on over to thegamingathlete.com to learn more about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Once again, that's thegamingathlete.com. Take it away, Louie.
ESC Round 3, the drivers headed to Interlagos for the third round of the Tag Heuer Porsche Esports Super Cup. Former champion Sebastian Jobe would claim his first pole position of the season, and let me slow down. I know we've got limited time. And we would duly go on to lead every lap of the sprint race en route to victory. It wouldn't be easy for him, however, as the entire field was virtually in one long train. Jamie Fluke would take second place, less than a tenth off of Jobe, with Salva Talens, hopefully I pronounced that right. Jordan will probably correct me here in a minute.
You are correct.
Not even to third place. Diogo Pinto would take pole position for the feature race thanks to the reverse grid. He would maintain position on lap one. A few laps in, Dane Warren would hit the front, but with five to go, one slight mistake into turn one would see him drop to fourth. That is an easy corner to do that in, too. With Kevin Ellis Jr. taking over the top spot in a now three-car battle with Zach Campbell and the pole sitter Pinto, the fight would kick off on the last lap, with Campbell taking the lead away at turn one. Ellis Jr. tried to fight back on the mid-sector with the pair side-by-side for the majority, but Campbell would get good enough exit out of the final corner to keep Ellis at bay until the checkered flag. Campbell would claim his maiden victory at the Tag Heuer Porsche Esports Super Cup, with Ellis Jr. taking second ahead of Diogo Pentel. Pinto in third. As a result of the racing in Sao Paulo, Diogo Pinto now leads the championship by just 4 points ahead of Jeremy Boutenloop, and the Tag Heuer Porsche Esports Super Cup will return with round four at Silverstone on March 19th. I did it.
So, if anyone from RLM wants to complain about our show being slightly over, it's Gooey's fault for not reading fast enough.
Well, it's either that or it's going to come out in pure Sebring gibberish. And I say Sebring gibberish because I'm ready to go to Sebring.
All right. Well, you have fun. this show has had a little bit of everything. Four people in the booth at the same time. We're not social distancing here at all, so it's time for us to end tonight's program. Thank you all for listening. Matt and Jordan will be back next week. Maybe I'll show up too, just because, you know.
Who knows anymore?
Who knows anymore?
Nobody expects the American invasion.
Except everybody. Anyway, so from all of us here, have a good night, everyone. Be safe out there. And Louis?
Jordan needs to eat more tacos.
I agree. Good night, everyone.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.